Malachim Beis Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Vav, the terrible tragedy of the famine of Shomron, as they're being besieged in an all-out campaign by the kingdom of Aram, despite the mercy that had been shown to their men. So now a perspective on the dire situation and the terrible hunger of the siege, Vayhi Melech Yisrael Over Al Hachoma. So the king of Yisrael, Yehoram, paced the top of the wall to inspect the troops, to see if the enemy was still out there, which the enemy always was. And so, V'isha tzaka elav lemor, a woman cried out in desperation to him, Hoshia Adoni HaMelech, save me, help me, my master the king. So Yehoram isn't sure what she wants. Chav Zayin Vayomer Al Yoshi Eich Hashem Me'ayin Oshiech. He says to her, and it sounds almost cruel, but he's sort of helpless. If God will not help you, from where can I help you? Hamin HaGoren. Do I have anything on the threshing floor? The storerooms are empty. Even the royal storehouse is empty. Omin HaYakev. Or do I have anything in the wine press? I have nothing. So a woman is crying out, help me. By the way, in Shmuel Beis, that phrase, Hoshia HaMelech, Hoshia Adoni HaMelech, was used in a court scene. The story of the two women claiming rights to the other's child, a squabble between two women, and the lack of evidence, and the arguments over the dead child. So, a terrible story, but the same phrase that's being used here. Now, the idea of a woman who nurtures the child being cruel to their own offspring is a sign that people have reached a level where they're not even practically human anymore. And this woman also is going to be very unaware of the impression of herself that she's giving. Because she's talking to the king and screaming, help, help. You would expect a plea for mercy, but instead, Chavches, Remer l'hamelech malach. So the king said to her, what's the matter? And the reason for the lengthy mention of the previous case of the two zonos with the dead baby is Vatomer ha'isha zos amra elai. The woman screams up to the king, standing up on the top of the wall, she said, this other woman next to me said to me, Tini espanech v'nochalenu hayom. She said, give me your son to me, and we'll eat him today. Vesbeni nochal mochar. And we'll eat my son tomorrow. You go first. So, this is terrifying and horrifying. And if the Nach doesn't tell us, we wouldn't even believe such a thing happened. So the woman is telling the king a story from she's way down below, hollering up to the top of the wall, and he is finally seeing close and personal, close up, what the terrible suffering of his people is. So she says, the woman next to me made a deal, right? We'll eat my son today and her son tomorrow. Chavtes v'navashe lesbini. And so we cooked my son. We killed my son and we ate him. V'anochlehu. V'omar elecho bayom ha'acher. And I said to her the following day, Tini es b'neich v'nochalenu. All right, abide by your bargain. Give me your son and we will eat him today. Batachbi es b'no. But she has hidden her son. So what does it mean she has hidden her son? So she benefited. She had the other woman's son murdered and then is saving her son alive. Except some of the Farshim say it's far worse than that. Some of the Farshim say they actually shechted the second child. He was slaughtered and prepared, but she refused to share it with the woman who had shared with her yesterday. What's Yehoram supposed to do? I mean, how do you judge a case like this? They made a deal, right? Business is business. A deal's a deal. But this is a deal to do murder. That's absolutely forbidden. The other woman has the right to protect her son, if her son was in fact still alive. It was horrifying. When the king heard the woman's words, he broke down. He tore his clothes. And then when he was passing by, the people saw, there was sackcloth directly next to his skin on the inside. It turns out, the people did not realize until he tore his outer garment that Yehoram had already done tshuva. Yehoram was already davening for forgiveness from Hashem. Yehoram recognized that it was his sins and the sins of the people that had brought this tragedy upon themselves, and he was wearing sackcloth, but he didn't want his people to despair, so he hid it under his royal garments. But now that he tore his upper garment, everybody saw that he had been wearing sack underneath sackcloth. Hashem had ignored his prayers until now that he was only mourning in private on the inside. But publicly tearing his clothes, the man Lois says, is an act of total subservience to Hashem and resignation to Hashem's will, and that he's not going to pretend to be strong. And Hashem is going to answer him almost right away now. This was a key moment for him. Yehoram, the man Lois continues, was dressed in a way that reflected who he really was. Outwardly, he's wicked, but in his heart, deep down, he's righteous. He's got the big day melucha on him of his father, of wickedness. He feared Hashem. He knew everything was in Hashem's hands. He would have kept the commandments, but he was unwilling to commit to a righteous life. Man Lois says he would have had to sacrifice honor and physical pleasure, so he hid it under a show of self-confidence. But in the meantime, he knew the truth. And in public, he made that apparent. And now he's going to get an answer once you reach the point where women are fighting over eating each other's dead children. So a terrifying story, and of what it takes. The nation has been brought to its knees.